Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 35 through 40. Luke 12, 35 through 40. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. God's Word says this: Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I pray for the scripture reading that was just read here before us. I pray that your word can be transformational here this morning, that it will do a work in us, that it will make us see more truths than what we had seen before, Lord. I pray that we will take the scripture to heart. I pray that my words will be pleasing to you. Guide my heart, guide my words, guide my thoughts. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we're going to begin our first sermon series of 2015. So with that, I'm going to introduce you to a new word. Here's a new word in your vocabulary, Harry, today. The new word is this: eschatology. You might say, well, what is eschatology? Well, first, here's how you spell it. E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Eschatology is what the Bible teaches is going to happen in end times. And I will have to admit that I do not know a whole lot about this topic as I do other areas of the Bible. However, I do have my own eschatological beliefs. Unfortunately, there are many, many, many different eschatological views in Christianity today. Many different mainline Protestant denominations, they are locked into a certain view, a certain belief system. And many independent or non-denominational churches, such as our own, we have no specific view as to what their eschatological beliefs might be. And then there are always some people who say they are Christians, who will say that if you do not agree with what they say or their view, then you are not a Christian and you are going to hell. Well, listen, I'm going to say this week, and I'm going to say this every week within this series. The purpose of what we cover from this time forward in this series is to introduce you to views and beliefs of what other Christians believe to be the correct interpretation of end times prophecy. There are many views. My intentions in this series is not to change what you may presently believe about end times. My intentions are not to argue with you about what you might presently believe about end times. And my intentions are not to force my beliefs down your throat. To me, a person's belief of eschatology, of end times prophecy, is what I call, it's not a hill to die on. I'll still be your friend, and I hope you'll still be my friend. The purpose of this series is to let you know that not everyone might believe the same thing that you believe. And I don't doubt their Christianity any more than I doubt theirs. I can say with almost 100% certainty that each view, however many different views there are, and they are numerous, that each view contains some measure of truth. Does any one view contain all truth? Probably not. And there are many ingredients that make up eschatology. Ingredients such as, what are the accompanying signs that we will see? Is there a certain time frame for these events to happen? What about this thing called a millennium? And what are the related prophecies concerning these events? And I read something called a tribulation or tribulation time. What's all that about? There are different views and different beliefs in all these different ingredients. But there is one truth, one ingredient, one event that each view of eschatology will agree on, and it's part of what they believe. And it's this: Jesus Christ will return to the face of this earth once again. It's what Christians call the second coming of Christ. Well, let's see what the Bible teaches about the second coming of Christ. We have five fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's go to the first one. We'll fill in the blank first, and then we will talk about the scripture that talks about that. Number one, we can be certain. We can be certain of the return of Jesus Christ. There will be a return of Jesus Christ at some point in time. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Say this as soon as I get there. 14, 1 through 3 says this: Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Key verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. That where that you also may be where I am. So we have the testimony of Jesus Christ himself there in John 14, which is in the upper room the night before he died, saying, I am coming back, people. I will come back, and I'll come back for his own. We also see in Acts chapter 1, this is where Jesus has just ascended into heaven. And I'm going to start reading here at verse number 9. It says this: After he said this, he being Jesus, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So now we have not only the testimony of Jesus himself in John chapter 14, we have the testimony of two angels and all the people that were there watching him depart on that particular day. So we have the testimony of many, many people, and we have to conclude this, that the certainty of the second coming or the return of Jesus Christ is a fundamental Christian belief. It's part of Christianity. It's a belief that every Christian must understand as a biblical truth. Jesus Christ is coming back. The next obvious question has to be this. Well, when is all this going to take place? Does anybody know the exact time when Christ is going to return? Second fill in the blank. We can be certain that we do not know the day or the hour of the return of Jesus Christ. You know, there will be some people, maybe some people on TV who are going to try to lock it into a day or a time or a year. But Jesus Christ says nobody knows. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus begins what theologians call the Olivet Discourse. It's a monologue of Jesus and his teachings. And it starts by the disciples asking this very important question. It's a great question that he asked in Matthew 24, verse 3. The disciples ask, "Tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" What a great question. And in Matthew 24, he pretty much answers it the way that Jesus answers it. But he says this in verse number 36 of Matthew 24. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And then in Matthew 24, verse 42, Jesus says again, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come." So we must conclude from the words of Jesus himself that we do not know, no one knows now, and no one will ever know when he's going to come back. There is kind of a little clue, however, if you want to call it a clue, in the book of Revelation at the very end. The last chapter is chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, and in verse 7 of that last chapter, Jesus says this. How's this for a great clue? "Behold, I am coming soon." That's a great clue. He's coming soon. And in verse 20 of Revelation 22, he repeats himself and he says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Well, maybe we don't know exactly when soon is, but trust me, he's coming soon because he says he is. Let's go to our third fill in the blank. We might not know when soon is, but we can say this: the return of Jesus Christ will be unexpected. It will be unexpected. In Matthew 24, verse 44, Jesus says this: "Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And Peter tells us in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, we do know this, that often he just says as a thief. Usually when Jesus is given an analogy of some sort, he always says a thief what? A thief in the night. It comes like a thief in the night because it's unexpected. You don't expect someone to come in the middle of the night. Jesus tells us also in Matthew 24, 37 through 39, he says this: "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." You know, I don't know where you were on September the 11th of 2001. But I remember waking up that day, and it was just, what, another ordinary day. It was a beautiful day, September 11th. The sun was shining. It was beautiful, nice temperatures, everything. It was just an ordinary day. But some very extraordinary things happened that day, didn't they? The terrorist attacks. And that's exactly the way it's going to be the day that Jesus decides to come on back to this earth. It's going to be unexpected. We'll wake up, it'll just be just, hey, it's just another day. But the Bible also teaches us this. Fill in the blank number 4. The return of Jesus Christ will be visible. So we know it'll be unexpected. We know it'll be soon, but it'll also be visible. How do I know that? Well, in Matthew 24, verse 27, again, in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus says this: "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." In Luke chapter 21, verse 27, Jesus adds this: "At that time," and when he says at that time, he means end times, when he returns, "they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And then the convincing scripture comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7, and it says this: "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him." Now you're saying, well, how is that going to be visible? How are we going to see him? And I'll give you the best answer I can give you. I don't know. I don't know. But if Jesus says every eye will see him, then every eye will see him. I don't know how that's going to work, but every eye will see him. And, you know, not only will it be visible, but the Bible also teaches it'll be audible too. Not only will we see him, but we will hear him. Because in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it tells us this: for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. So not only are we going to see him, but we're going to hear him too. Which reminds me of a story. This is a real quick story time with Pastor Mike. This was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. Gail and I were coming to church here on a Sunday morning. And you know me, I'm a routine person. Every morning I stop at the Exxon gas station and fill my car up with gas. And while I'm filling up the car, Gail goes in and buys a snack or two for us. And while I had finished filling up the car with gas, and I'm sitting back in the car again waiting for her to come on out of the store, and all of a sudden I hear this, dun-da-da, dun-da-da, and it's a trumpet. It's a trumpet call. Dun-da-da. And I'm saying, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is coming back. And I'm looking in the sky and I'm saying, where are you, Lord? And why am I still here? I hear the trumpet call. I know you're coming. Come and take me away. And I look around and everyone's still walking and every cars are still driving. And Gail walks out and I said, oh my goodness, neither one of us are saved. Well, she gets in the car and she says, what's wrong? And I said, I just heard the trumpet call of Jesus and you and I were still here. And she said, what did it sound like? And I said, da-da-da-da. And she said, oh, that's my cell phone. Her cell phone had some kind of, alarm to it, that when she got some kind of alarm from Mary Baldwin College, that it did this. Da-da-da. So we're still here, right? We're still here. He hasn't come back yet. But he does say he's going to come back soon and soon and very soon. So we will see him, we will hear him. And then our fifth and final fill in the blank says this: we are warned to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We are warned to be ready for him. In the scripture text that I read earlier from Luke, in Luke chapter 12, verse 40 specifically says this: Jesus warns the people to be ready because he says, I'm going to return at an hour that you do not expect me to come. So I'm going to kind of break this down into three real quick subpoints about these warnings that Jesus gives us about his return. The first one is going to be this from Luke chapter 21. And I'm going to find that real quick. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. We are warned that all people, should be right with Christ. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36 says this: be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, meaning when he returns, will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. There's only going to be one group of people, folks, who are going to be able to stand before the Son of Man when he returns, and that's going to be who? Christians. And that's going to be it. So his first warning is this: are you right with Christ? He warns us to be right with Christ. He's given us his word. He's given us churches. He's given us preachers. He's given us pastors. Every person on the whole face of this earth, he has given us the internet. There's no excuse for not knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number two, the second warning he gives: we are warned to live a righteous life for Christ. Now, this one will be directed towards us, and I'm going to go to the book of Titus for this. Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. And he says this: for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's warning us this. How are we supposed to live up until the day that he returns? We're supposed to live godly lives as God's chosen people. So we're warned to be right with Christ. We're warned to lead godly lives for Christ as Christians. And then the third and final one, we are warned of false Christ. We are warned that there will be false Christ here on the face of this earth. And I get that from, again, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24. Let me read verses 23 through 26 to you. And it says this, starting in verse number 23. For then there will be great distress. Oh, I'm sorry, it's verse 21. Verse 23. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe him. So, the final warning Jesus gives us is this. Not only be warned, you need to be right with Christ. Number two, us Christians need to be living godly lives. But number three, there's going to be false Christ out there. Do not be deceived by some of these other people. So, let's conclude what we've learned here today in our first lesson about end times or eschatology. It is a certainty, we have to remember this, it is a certainty that Jesus Christ will return to the face of this earth. And we don't know exactly when that's going to occur. I'm just going to stop right there. As I was looking up some research for this message, I looked up when Jesus is coming back, and there, you know, I Googled it, and one of the Google things that come up says, I know when Jesus is coming back. I have been told the exact day and hour. Okay, well, that gets your interest, doesn't it? So I had to go there, right? You had to go to see what this person was going to say. And you get on the webpage, and he starts presenting his case for, I know exactly when, and he's calculating this and using this and calculating this. And I'm going through it, and I'm saying, this guy is crazy. He's absolutely lunatic. And then as you go down the page, he says, this is all a joke. And then he says, then he actually gives like the first warning. We need to trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so it got me to the page because of my curiosity to see what he said about this. But then after he gives all this stuff that is nonsense, he goes on to say that we need to make sure that we are ready when Jesus Christ returns. So I thought that would be interesting. So we don't know when it's going to occur, but we do know this. It will occur on a day and a time when the world does not expect him to return. It will be visible. It will be audible, and we are warned, or you could actually use the word encouraged, to be ready, to be saved, to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, to live a righteous life, and beware of false prophets out there. I heard this on the radio Friday coming home from work. Did you ever read the newspaper one day where the headlines have been in really, really big print? And you might have seen that maybe on the day JFK was assassinated, when the headlines are real important, when the man walked on the moon. I remember I was a newspaper boy when and I delivered newspapers that day in the Pittsburgh Press, man on moon in this real big print. So there are certain events that happen that the newspaper people use this really big type. Do you know what that type is called? I just learned this Friday. It's called second coming type. That's what the newspaper industry calls it. Second coming type. Because they say the headlines need to be as important as the second coming of Jesus Christ. And use that type of type, that bold, big, bold type. Let me just end by reading Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. And we'll just end with this here this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28 says this. These are great words of encouragement. It says this: just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. You know, Jesus did show up on the face of this earth about 2,000 years ago. We know that. We celebrate Christmas. We know all about that. He showed us how to live. He died on a cross for us. He rose from the grave, and he ascended into heaven. And he did all that to bring us a new covenant. And there's been 2,000 years that people have had the chance, the ability, the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus Christ. That's not what's going to happen when he comes back. It says he's not going to bear sin anymore. He's already done that. He did that 2,000 years ago. Next time he comes back, he's coming back to take us away. That's great news. I don't know about you, but come quickly, Lord Jesus. You can come today if you like. So, Jesus Christ is coming back. He promises he will come back. So no matter what your view of eschatology might be, if you're here, no matter where you're at, we all agree on one thing: Jesus Christ will return. So let's go to God in prayer.